are not enough. As many as 69 million people who've taken their spouse's name don't have a birth certificate matching their legal name. More than 140 million U.S. citizens don't possess a passport, which, by the way, costs something like $165 to apply for one. We have just 30 seconds.
Well, the SAVE Act is a modern-day poll tax in so many different ways. They're trying to make it seem like it's requiring documentation that everyone has. It's requiring documentation that people don't have, that's expensive to get, that people don't carry around with them every single day. So this is not a voter ID bill. This is a show your papers bill. It would have far-reaching ramifications. Many more people would be affected by this than Republicans suggest. And it's just crazy that this is the thing that Republicans are focusing on when there's so many other problems in the world. It's doomed to failure, but the worry is that when it fails, Trump is going to take more extreme action to try to interfere with the midterms. This is just the beginning of a much bigger fight over the president's desire to interfere in the midterm elections.
Ari Berman, I want to thank you for being with us. National voting rights correspondent for Mother Jones Magazine. We'll link to your article, The World's on Fire, Gas Prices Are Rising, Republicans Are Trying to Make It Harder to Vote. And Amara Jones, founder and CEO of Translash Media and host of its investigative podcast, The Anti-Trans Hate Machine. Again, next Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, live stream at democracynow.org, our 30th anniversary celebration at Riverside Church here in New York with Patti Smith and Michael Stipe and Angela Davis and others. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and you're listening to KBOO in Portland.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Friday, March 20th at 6 p.m., KBOO makes everything metal. Somehow, the Metal March returns again in 2026, taking over even more of the airwaves. It's 12 whole hours of live bands and DJ sets from your favorite KBOO metal hosts. March 4th and support metal on KBOO. Tune in to the Metal March Marathon, Friday, March 20th at 6 p.m. through Saturday, March 21st at 6 a.m. only on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Good morning. You are listening to Genius Box here on KBOO Community Radio. I'm Althea.
I'm Reed.
Nate's in the booth for
Nate's
us.
Nate's in the booth.
How are we doing this morning?
Well,
Reed was very nearly late.
I was very nearly Nate.
Whoa,
I was
not
nearly,
Nate.
I was not nearly Nate. I was actually nearly Rocky.
Whoa.
It was almost my name. No, I was biking over. Beautiful morning.
Sustainable
sun
King.
Sun was coming up. Sustainable King, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I felt a lovely breeze.
A breeze? Oh, nice.
Fortunately, it was not in an area that I normally associate with feeling the breeze.
Uh-huh.
Which was namely my upper thigh.
Okay.
Because I had a giant hole in my pants that I only had then discovered as I was then excavating the scene of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wheeled around.
Yeah.
I kind of stopped and pivoted.
And what's the state of your pants right now? The regular amount of holes?
This,
the one at the top, the two at the bottom?
These pants?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. I guess those are. But those are like accommodated holes for the human body.
Right. Well, not the way I'm doing
Whereas
it.
Whereas this one was kind of like a lewd peeping area.
Okay.
For
so
a passerby.
That's how we're starting the morning.
I'm starting the morning with, well, I started the morning with letting those thunder thighs breathe.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to both put on pants without a hole in them and make it here on time because we have a great show planned.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about today on Genius Box? We're your Friday talk radio program. We are going to, maybe we'll talk a little bit about our show last week. We interviewed
with the great Cindy Cohn.
The great Cindy Cohn.
Of the Electronic
Thank you.
Frontier Foundation.
Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Not we just talked electric, about. But she was electric.
She was electric. Very true. We'll talk a little bit about that. We've got some local news we want to get into about a Portland city councilor sending off emails with expletives in them, which is everybody's in a flurry about.
Yeah. And hurting the feelings of our favorite broker, city, local.
Not
local,
disgraced local broker.
Yeah,
that's a little bit of sarcasm for the
not,
folks
not
at home.
Not triple disgraced local broker. Brian Owendoff.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. We might get into some of the Oregon education system in crisis, a tax the rich proposal, and a little bit more about the Blazers and the Moda Center proposal. And also because Reed and I started looking into, has this happened elsewhere? And so
Sports owner held a city hostage and demanded right. Take off $300 million of your income taxes and give it directly to me.
Give it to me. And it turns out it happened in Tempe, and it's happening in, I think, where do the Diamondbacks play?
Somewhere in Arizona. Probably happened in every major American city.
Yeah, probably.
And yeah, we're just in the latest in a trend.
We were debating if it would be funny to just come on the show one day and just only talk about news out of Tempe, Arizona, and
yeah,
pretend
folks,
like
call in
was
if
happening.
You yeah if you if you're really interested in learning what's happening in Tempe, Arizona. What's happening is that they booted out their lame duck NHL team.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said, no, we don't want to foot the bill for a big giant stadium.
Might not be where we put the taxpayer money. Also, in the halfway point of the show, we'll open up those phone lines. We have dueling questions. I have a question for you, and Reed has a question for you, so you can decide which one you want to answer.
Dueling questions.
Around the halfway point of the show. Okay, shall we begin in earnest? I know it's been a couple minutes of us.
Start the clock.
Fluff. The interview with Cindy Cohn talking about digital privacy, the government spying on you, corporations
private business spying on you,
corporations doing it on behalf of the government, the Patriot Act. What are your reflections on that conversation? Which, note, listener, is available for you to listen back to online, kbu.fm/geniusbox.
Shout out
to our own website.
To our own sort of contribution to the digital forum.
Right.
That is the internet.
That's what they're calling it. I think the name's going to stick around.
Well, I loved Cindy's memoir.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I already got into trouble for saying should. It's a great read.
It's a good read.
And I think that she very effectively argues that privacy and national security, whatever you want to call that, they are not mutually exclusive.
Right.
You can have a place where your private data is protected, where it's not monetized, where it's not traded like an asset openly, where it's not peeped upon, where everything you say doesn't have to get siphoned through a big giant government database where they see, I just texted $5, should I get Brussels sprouts from the store? That is actually not vital information
for the NSA
as are actually more politically salient things that I say or anyone else say, vital for national security. In fact, you could argue that it's undermining your security.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
By providing that information.
Yeah, that was definitely one of my takeaways. There was a lot of great history in this, and also, it's interesting to see behind the curtain of who's been fighting against the creep of the creep of government surveillance. Sorry, I mean the creep as in government surveillance creep. Sorry, I can
they're
say
also,
it in a different order.
Yeah,
but they're also kind of being creeps.
Yeah. I would say peeping is a creepy thing.
Sure,
that
sure. Sitting on the line,
justifiably,
tough.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting to talk about it, some of these historical fights and also what's going on now, just because I think that there's so many ways in which the conversation has changed, and that privacy is not necessarily at the forefront of folks' minds.
Mm.
of something that they should be fighting for. In some ways, it feels like because of the corporate capture of so many different means of communication and technology that
we've already agreed
to give it up.
That's already a tacit assumption.
Yeah. And also understanding, you know, how to kind of counter this narrative of, well, you don't need privacy if you have nothing to hide. Privacy is like, you're your own person. You know,
what are you guilty of?
Exactly. And I people will maybe say that explicitly or not explicitly, or it's like implied that, well, we need to be safer. And there's a lot of counters to all of those arguments, but it was really interesting to
the government fabricating narratives to, you know, find people complicit with quote-unquote Antifa activity would be one.
Right, sure. And we're seeing it play out now about how this mass surveillance is being used against people, used against immigrants, you know, how what this data is good for. And we need to counter that narrative, you know? And I don't know. It really got me thinking about it because I don't know that I identified digital privacy as something that I was personally that concerned about for myself. Or not that I didn't think it was a problem, but
that's
it wasn't at the
Althea
top of my list.
Althea is one of those people that peeps over the shoulder of other people. Just like the very nasty Jeremiah Hayden.
Okay.
Very
Don't do
shout out Jeremiah.
Shout out Jeremiah. I don't even think that's what happened, but yeah. No, I'm thinking about my digital privacy. I'm thinking about other folks' digital privacy as well.
And it turns out, you know, as we were talking, that when people are confronted with quite explicit examples of government surveillance or private surveillance, they recoil in horror. It's an incredibly unpopular thing that's normally done behind closed doors in deals that are not made public.
Right.
But when you have, say, the, I was almost going to say DoorDash, the... What's the door camera?
Oh, the Ring.
Spy camera.
Yeah, Ring
camera.
Video doorbell. The dog surveillance state.
The dog surveillance
state. That came out at the Super Bowl, that commercial that everybody was like,
yeah.
What on earth?
Don't
do that. That and also, I mean, that Ring is collaborating with Flock, who has all of those cameras, the license plate readers.
Right, that they coordinate with law enforcement.
Right. And interesting when you dig into the Flock data a little bit about how it's been used by law enforcement, there's a lot more, like, it's asking a lot more of the data. There's a lot more queries into it, and it turns up a lot more data than is related to any kind of arrest.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so, and like the idea that, you know, driving from place to place, you know, that your plate has been logged, associated with your route. You know, like there's a lot of things that they can scrape based on
gets into
metadata
that
is not explicitly, talking to them. And that was another thing I really took from Cindy's book was how powerful metadata is. And that, you know, I think a lot of the reassurance that you heard,
metadata being like the kind of envelope of information that surrounds maybe your, you know, like digital communications, things
right.
like that. So like location, time.
And the envelope is kind of, can be a flawed metaphor, but because, you know, if you're just looking at a physical envelope sent in the mail, you're like, oh, I don't know that much about this person. But on a mass scale, the frequency of communication between different people, the time of day, like they can conjecture a lot about you pretty accurately.
Right.
And that's frightening. That's frightening. And even if they're not reading your message directly, it doesn't mean that there's not, you know, stuff that can be scraped and sold and used to build a case against you by the government,
A canine surveillance system that has effectively found over 2,000 dogs.
Is that true? Or you're making that up?
I'm quoting the advertisement.
Okay,
I think the use of...
And the
of,
man in a suit has come into the room and put his hand really heavy on Reed's shoulder. I just want to make sure the listeners
I'm pulling out a script and reading very carefully as it was shaking hands from... No, I think the use of AI to generate the dog's savior narrative was maybe evidence that number was... Much like the visual presentation drawn out of thin air.
Sure. And I mean, let's just get on the record here at Genius Box. We're anti-dog surveillance state.
I think we have successfully created a system in the course of, I don't know, like human evolution,
sure,
to communicate effectively on where on I have lost a dog, and if yeah. you see it, please call me.
Right. And that's putting up flyers, or?
I think that's worked pretty well, you know?
If you've lost a dog, call in, please.
Like, I get there's probably a few that
fall
through the cracks, but the idea that putting a camera on my door is going to more effectively do that.
It's questionable. We don't know about that. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some of our local news, shall we?
Oh, great.
He's that excited. The story I was maybe most eager to talk about this morning.
Oh, yeah.
This is from The Oregonian, the headline being, Portland leader fires off profanity-laced emails telling broker, shut your racist mouth.
Plus a few more things.
Plus a few more expletives, which is how we will refer to them here. I was making Reed guess over the phone which city leader he thought it might be.
And I did not guess it correctly. I was shocked.
Okay, a little bit of background.
Who is this profanity-laced email to?
Yeah, in January, during the Portland City Council presidential debate, a local real estate broker named Brian Owendoff.
You could call him a local disgraced real estate broker, Brian Owendoff, I think.
Disgraced as of now, for sure. Was basically texting a bunch of people in huge font, racist and homophobic things, primarily about the progressive councilors of color.
And they were also texting racist things. I mean, I don't know if the other people were texting back. I would say that it was a rich forum that was cultivating those thoughts. It was him plus everyone else was actively contributing to this.
Somebody in council chamber has like snapped a photo of this
because the text font was ginormous.
It was huge. He was in the middle of the room.
It was laughably large.
And I mean, it's,
you don't need an NSA to have surveilled.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody who took that photo was sitting on the wire,
you needed,
so
like,
to speak.
20x100 vision. Like you could effectively be like legally blind to drive and have seen that.
Not only is he a disgraced real estate broker, now you're insulting his eyesight.
I should say, I'm sorry. Okay. I also have very poor eyesight, so I realize it doesn't give me a pass, but it gives me a sense of an experience to speak from.
So he was speaking. I mean, like, writing horribly about the progressive councilors of color, like, widely condemned, and
like, objectively racist. You have to, like, read it in a way, and, like, perhaps there's a different reading for it.
And he sent an email to all of City Council and Mayor Keith Wilson about a recent housing policy study out of Austin. And I mean, your guess was who emails replies all shut your racist mouth and then replies again saying expletive yourself in the heart.
Yeah.
Stop clearing up our emails.
An incredible phrasing.
Just should enter the lexicon.
Powerful. Enter the lexicon. Absolutely a thing to like the correct, in my opinion.
Yeah. You're allowed to have an opinion on this show.
A perfectly reasonable way of responding to that.
And so you guessed that it was Angelita Murillo. No, it was Steve Novick. Shut him down. And
shout out to Steve Novick.
Shout out Steve Novick. His quote in this Oregonian.
Didn't realize your email game was that strong.
Yeah, this is what he told the Oregonian. Quote, I was just amazed after the Mercury article, he thinks any of us want to hear from him. I was just kind of blown away. I thought that it was important to let him know that after his racist comments about my colleagues, he is very much persona non grata at City Hall.
I should say I was looking at Brian Owendoff's Substack, which is a Turner Diaries like nightmarish forum of his thoughts.
Rebuttal.
I also pulled the picture. It's like a crazy AI generated version of him, which is it's so classic. It's like classic boomer guy on the internet. And it's like the most like boring, like abundance style, like pro housing development policy piece on like successful housing strategies in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, that's what he was trying to send them.
It's so crazy for that to have come out, all your racist texts, and then 3 weeks later, just kind of slide back in and say, hey, I'm sending you this incredibly dry and like kind of mundane policy memo.
Yeah. And
just honestly hoping.
Hey, just checking in.
I mean, why are you sending it from your own personal email? Just lie and say you're sending it from someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's also interesting to me that the Oregonian linked his Substack rebuttal where he talks about he considers the Mercury article by Jeremiah Hayden to be a political hit piece.
Right.
Which
there have been a lot of, if that's the case, Brian, there's been a lot of political hit pieces against you. I think there's been three different controversies surrounding him that have been published. I think the last two were published in the Oregonian or Oregon Live.
Yeah,
but he has
been
let go twice from brokerage firms for let's say maybe not racist, but incredibly incendiary online. The guy is a serial poster.
He loves to post. True about him.
You know, and that is not his foremost crime. I would say his foremost crime is his wicked heart. Whoa. And evil mind. But you gotta stop being on the computer, Brian. You gotta you know, take a real picture of yourself. Get into watercolor.
Touch grass, man.
Touch grass, you know, buy a riverboat.
Yeah. Hey, still got the river.
but the emailing, the posting, it's not doing you any favors.
I don't think so. And yeah, it was wild to see Novick come out so strongly against it. But hey, you know,
it seems like people are kind of fed up with this guy.
You clearly don't have the clout to be putting your thumb on the scale anymore. You were like exposed in kind of the goofiest way possible and were like being horrible to people that you might seek to influence.
Well, Althea, have you thought about that? Brian has led teams that have delivered $1.5 billion of mixed-use development in urban core of Portland, including 1,500 apartment units over the past 18 years. These projects generated $100 million in net new real property income and hotel taxes, as well as permit and system development fees.
Ergo,
since 2009.
You can't be mad at me about being racist. They don't let
you. Don't you realize who I am?
Don't you realize who I am? Only poor people can be racist.
I'm
rich.
Odious Owendorf. Those are terms that I will never forgive.
Yeah, that's what
says the guy who formerly threatened his former employer, calling him morally bankrupt, clueless, lying Mormon, dies immediately from bankruptcy and greed.
What? Okay, Reed went deeper on Owendorf.
Then, according to the Oregonian, followed up with all caps exclamation, "That can't be printed here," and made quote-unquote slanderous allegations concerning the marital fidelity of one of the capacity commercial principals.
Wow.
This is according to a lawsuit from about 10 years ago.
Okay.
Following his dismissal.
That's your little Owendorf update. we'll step outside the Owendorf corner to remind you that you are listening to Genius Box here on KBOO Community Radio. Don't act so resigned to the fact that that's what the show is called and that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And you're,
I'm happy.
I'm happy, I promise.
I'm smiling, even though my voice sounds like this.
Althea and Reed here. We got we probably got time for one other headline. Where do you want to go?
I want to talk Blaze.
Okay, let's level set Blazers.
Because it's another let's say maybe like person that I guess I personally find somewhat contemptible.
Let's give a little bit of background.
Tom Dundon. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes, we're going to talk about Tom Dundon. So Trailblazers got sold.
Yes. Well, it's in the process of being sold.
I don't think it can be stopped, but there's like some long process that has to happen, I think is kind of my read on it. But maybe maybe Reed can Google while I give a little bit of background.
Mm.
But basically, Blazers were sold. And though he has not come to face us himself, the new owner, subprime auto loan tycoon Tom Dundon, has made it clear through other people that the city, the state, the county, somebody's got to pony up some real cash to renovate the Moda Center or else, we're leaving that open to interpretation.
It's also unclear. So we both, Althea and I both listened to a Think Out Loud piece where Rob Wagner, Oregon Senate President, and Dwayne Hankins, president of business operations for the Blazers,
yeah,
came on, fielded calls from the public,
yeah,
and in general just
because there's a bunch of public money now committed to renovating,
yes,
the Moda Center.
They have passed the bill. They've declared it an emergency, so we don't get any say on it, even though it's in our best interest. And Wagner and Hankins came on to, you know, explain the rationale behind it,
defend
why this is in the public
sell.
Good.
Yeah.
And from what I understood, you know, in their pitch, you know, they were asked, have you had, like, you're talking kind of through almost like operating the Tom Dundon side as if you know what they're saying.
Right.
Have you, and you know, what they're saying essentially is that this new ownership group is coming in. They are threatening, or there is a threat, or there is a perceived sense that they are likely to take the team out of Portland unless they see massive investment in the Moda Center, which is a, you know, at the same time crumbling infrastructure and also a perfectly nice stadium that we all enjoy.
it's
there's
okay.
There's a lot of kind
it's
of
not
talking.
Great, but it's okay.
It's okay. And what the two say is that, no, we've actually not gotten any word from Tom Dundon. So then Dave Miller, the host, says, oh, so this is an assumption that you've made, which Rob Wagner says, I don't like the term assumption.
Let's hear him out.
Which, okay, but it does sound like a synonym for assumption then.
Right.
If it's not assumption, it is a
conjecture.
Conjecture?
It's an inference.
It's an inference. It's a divination from a set of, you know, tarot cards you have laid out, you know, yeah, the incoming. I have the incoming ownership.
It's the Trailblazers logo.
The
inverted.
Nine of Swords.
That's,
yeah,
not good.
I've drawn the Nine of Swords and I've drawn the
if
president.
If you know tarot and you could tell us what cards would mean that the Blazers are going to leave, call
oh,
in.
Yeah, please call
503-231-8187.
I mean, I agree that, okay, maybe it's not an assumption, but right, if I'm looking at Tom Dundon, who maybe not himself, but two of his companies are viewed in the eyes of Oregon State as criminal in their actions. The state of Oregon is part of like two lawsuits against Tom Dundon companies for predatory, wow, lending actions.
Wow.
So I would say, you know, to make an inference,
sure,
about Tom himself.
And we let you do inferences here on the Genius
Not
Box.
An assumption.
Not an assumption. An inference.
I don't maybe think that he has, let's say,
Scruples? For
or
the Blazers.
For the Blazers. And that his business practices historically,
right,
haven't, let's say, valued the consumers.
Sure, I think
goods.
that might be something that one could say about a pending lawsuit that is, you know,
alleging
some of the implication
predatory
there.
Predatory lending.
Right.
Predation. He is, yeah, okay, no.
You're done with your...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just felt like it was a very uncompelling argument for, mm-hmm, why the Blazers should stay in Portland. Like, to be clear, I think those two things do need to be...
I want them to stay.
Kind of, yeah, disassociated from each other.
Sure.
The argument, I feel like my argument against giving $300 million at least,
yeah,
of
blank,
like,
check.
Blank check, money that's going to the general fund, money that's funding infrastructure,
right,
to the Blazers is not a argument against keeping the Blazers.
Right, yeah.
It's an argument for what kind, like what do we bring to the table? What,
yeah,
you know, where's the pushback?
Right.
If I'm Rob Wagner, I want to hear, you know, I want to hear a little teeth in the fight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree about sort of decoupling that conversation, and, you know, it's part of people's history. You know, people love the Blazers. It's part of Portland. Nobody wants to see them gone, but it's here's what bothers me. One, that Tom Dundon won't come out himself and sell us on it. That's the part.
You coward.
I think that's a little bit insulting that if you want the public's dollars, you won't even come out and say like, hey, this is what we need to do.
Yeah.
This is what needs to happen. I want to do this, this, and this. This is my vision. There's
no
vision.
You need the Oregon State president to say, we think...
The Senate president, yeah.
I'm sorry, the Oregon Senate president. And then the president of business operations for the Portland Trailblazers to say, we think this investment will do X.
Yeah, we think
we think it'll bring in local businesses to the Moda Center.
Let's litigate it on the merits, you know? And there's also a sense of like, it's a sudden emergency that it's not like a tile falling off the roof of the kingdom. It's this is the Moda Center, which is totally fine. It's just that
they even acknowledge that it's totally fine.
That there's just like balloon the needs and the people associated with NBA teams has just ballooned. And same thing with concerts. Like they want more space for a production, and there's like newer and enhanced things that they can do in an arena now. And that's fine, but that's not an emergency per se.
No.
And if you want to use,
it's so interesting. I would definitely recommend. Like it's an interesting listen to hear Wagner and Hankins' argument, and to hear some of the push. I think Dave Miller was a pretty effective interviewer and pushing back at some of these things, or having them like have to defend these kinds of like there's I feel like a couple bullet points that the proponents of this Senate bill keep harping on.
Yeah.
And they were kind of dismantled.
Right.
Like, one, the economic impact of the Moda Center. A caller calls in and says, hey, you know, there's all of these, like, economic think tanks from across, you know, the political spectrum but they all say there seems to be complete support to the assumption that sports arenas do not induce extra spending.
Yeah.
It's substitute for other spending that people do elsewhere.
Right.
And so the idea of like this being an economic impact, like the Moda Center generating money that wouldn't be spent elsewhere.
Right.
Like
that's not true.
And so the host says, what do you guys respond to that? And Rob Wagner says, let's forget the numbers. We're talking about an intangible thing. You can't quantify what the Blazers mean to Portland in terms of like dollars and things like that. And it's like, on the one sense, I get that argument. And obviously it's incredibly a meaningful team to so many people. And I do agree, it's unjust to try and quantify that in dollars. You unfortunately have quantified that in dollars, and that's a key core argument.
Yeah.
Your case. So to be like, oh, it's effective when we want to use it, but any sort of criticism that's levied against it, like we can kind of,
yeah.
Oh no,
that's matrix slide out of the way.
Intangible good.
Well, and also just, I mean, one, it's not a proposal to keep the Blazers in Portland. It's a proposal to renovate the Moda Center, which may keep the Blazers in Portland. But also just thinking about, you know, in the context of putting state dollars towards it, when we're also seeing like the every corner of the state budget is like in some kind of crisis right now. Transportation is obviously one of them. The education system, which
there's
we didn't,
several people calling in about, why are you, it's crazy to see, you know, like bipartisan support for like, you know, drawing $300 million out of thin air for the Blazer Stadium, when we're barely able to just even like keep the funding for public schools that we have right now.
Right. And we're
let alone expand it.
Yeah. And that the way that, I mean, the education system in Oregon is funded is kind of fraught. And we're seeing, you know, PCC faculty and staff are on strike. PSU is it retrenchment? I don't know. They're doing some big contraction.
They're shrinking. Yeah, they're cutting for whole that. Departments potentially.
Southern Oregon University had to have a bailout from the legislature just to meet payroll. PPS is looking at closing like something like 10 elementary schools or something like that.
I would call that an emergency.
And I'm, you know, I sort of hold out
more so than like we need fan eddies in the concourse so that they can do social media.
Yeah, I think there's a decent case to be made for a special legislative session on figuring out how to fund education, just because it's we got to do it. And
have you ever thought about privatizing it and putting in a mascot and cheerleaders, and that will get full bipartisan support.
Yeah. Don't get charter fooled. You ready for a quick musical break before we open up those phone lines?
I would love a quick musical break.
Okay, this is Genius Box. We'll be back in a moment. Of Stars All Seem to Weep, Beth Orton for you this morning. You're listening to Genius Box. I'm Althea. I'm here with Reed. Our phone lines are open, folks, for, you've been waiting for it, our dueling call-in questions. Today,
sorry, I know that.
He's going to do that the whole, the rest of the hour.
No, that actually wasn't a finely tuned banjo in the studio. That was just my deft vocal cords.
Yeah, and that's why we let him in the Genius Box. He is just that good. Okay, we want to tell you what our questions are. It is today, the first day of spring.
Whoa.
Which inspired our question. So something, here's my question.
It's sprung because it's already begun.
Right, true. What is something in your life that you are growing, or something that you've successfully grown? Maybe that's plants or skills or relationships. I would love to hear. 503-231-8187. You can also message us on the KBOO website. Click on that chat with us button, kboo.fm. And Reed, what's your question?
So Althea was asking, what's like a mindful question that kind of centers us?
I'm going to force Reed to be earnest.
And forces me to be earnest. So I was thinking, okay, spring, mindfulness.
Yeah.
And I thought, spring break.
Uh-huh.
My question is, what is your all-time spring break destination?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 503-231-8187. It's so funny that you said it in that tone of voice.
Mm. Oh, can I also say my pun that I forgot to say for the last segment?
Go ahead, say your pun.
I'm reversing the tape, and we're going right back to Athia saying, we're going to talk about the Blazers. And then I'm going, hey, you might as well call us Grip Seedy the way we're... waiting on edge.
It's a better... I was looking at that, you wrote that down this morning, and I was like, I'm actually not 100% sure what that's a pun on, but it's a good pun, Reed. Okay, fast forward back to where we
Grip
were.
Grip CD. Yes, sir.
All right, and it looks like we have Tangent on the line. Hey, Tangent.
Hi, Tangent.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, my dog just went crazy on this. Okay, never mind. I'm glad that wasn't on the air.
Oh, you know, you're good.
Oh, good. All right, let's see. Well, since you asked the question, I'm a landscaper of 40-some years.
So, oh.
This is Lola, please. This is Happy New Year for me.
Yeah, it is.
Spring is really the true new year.
That's what Althea was saying.
Yeah, I grow all kinds of things. So I do bonsai and topiary, like, espalier and all kinds of arts like that.
Cool.
And the traditional things, too.
Wow.
Western things, I guess you call them. So, but I really wanted to talk about the war and the fact that gas prices are going up so fast. I think I'll go inside. It's nothing to do with the war. The oil that left Iran, or that Strait of Hormuz, the day before the war started, hasn't even got to a refinery by now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is simply war profiteering. The prices for them, whoever's refining it and selling it, hasn't gone up yet. But they go, well, it's going to, so we'll, you know, it's like, what do they call it? Pre-something strike. I keep coming up with
preemptive. You know? Yeah, it's sort of estimating
how things
will be.
You're going to hit me, so I'll hit you first. Mm. What's that called?
Preemptive?
Emptive, thank you. So they just do preemptive price hikes to go along with the preemptive wars.
Yeah. No, that's a good observation,
I think it's funny, too. The Pentagon coming begging hat in hand. They, what, just got $1 trillion or almost last year, and they want, what, $200 billion, small change, right? What'd you do with the other trillion? We gave you that for this year. You're supposed to be prepared, right? Yeah.
They're known for their budgeting skills. They are always finding money in the couch to make more war. So, well, thank you, Tangent. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Tangent. And hello to Tangent's dog.
Hello to Tangent's dog. Tell your dog to call in. No, I'm just kidding.
See that happen.
Folks, if you want to call, please, 503-231-8187. We've got dueling spring-themed questions. What is something in your life that you are growing or something you've successfully grown? Or...
And then, all-time spring break destinations.
Either or, let us know what you think. Jeff is on the line. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. I hope you're well. And I hope you have an egg there in the studio, because right about now, in about 6 minutes, will be equinox.
Ooh.
Equinox.
We're told that an egg can be balanced on the vernal and autumnal equinox. Well, we'll find out. I don't have an egg right now because I'm not in that room of my home. But as to the question of what are you growing besides mold and fungus, mostly on my brain, I have had the pleasure of growing for a number of years what's called a Hoya. And there are many kinds of Hoya, and that's spelled H-O-Y-A, also called a wax plant. And they are coveted by plant lovers everywhere. It's an indoor house plant, and it has grown.
Pretty.
It ordinarily is found, it's native to Mesoamerica, where it grows in the undergrowth of the forest and grows along the ground. It is drought resistant, it grows along the ground and produces some extraordinary flowers. There are probably 40 or 50 different kinds of Hoya. I was gifted this Hoya 30 years ago by a landlady who had been growing it for 20 years. And I have made cuttings from this Hoya and given them to others so that the original Hoya is still extant. But it now is closer to 50 years of age and can still produce cuttings.
Wow.
And look up Hoya when you go to your Google today, H-O-Y-A, and you will be amazed and stunned by the beauty, by the intricacy of the blossoms of the Hoya plant. And at the end of each tiny blossom, each little floret on the blossom of the Hoya is produced a droplet of pure sugar.
Whoa.
It's a fascinating and wonderful thing. And I can understand why there are indeed Hoya fanciers, much like cat fanciers, all over the world. So examine the Hoya and let's live a little, because it is spring, and get your eggs out. They might be balanceable right about now.
Now. Wow.
I was going to do the countdown.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's officially springtime. I wish you a good weekend. And thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. To you as well.
See you later.
All right. Good stuff. Yeah, the Hoya blossoms are really beautiful.
They are. We're looking at them right now.
We're looking at them, all
right. I like kind of the lavender color. Or there's one with like a little cream backing, and then kind of a red
center. Yeah, it's lovely. So growing a Hoya, love that. Egg balancing on the equinox, and Reed's got the countdown.
I've got the countdown.
No eggs in the genius box.
Kind of just started it when Jeff said 6 minutes, so it's probably not incredibly accurate.
But if you were able to do that, call in and let us know, please. 503-231-8187. What's something in your life that you're growing? Or what is your all-time spring break destination?
Destination. And we're back. 90.7 Classic Rock Radio.
not what those radio stations.
Okay,
you're on the wrong one, Reed.
Yeah,
all of your other, radio.
This is my jumping off point for you know, classic rock radio, the drive at five.
The drive at five. Yeah, of course. Well, he's a busy guy.
You know, toilet humor, shock jock terrain.
Yeah, which you're not doing now.
Which I'm not doing now.
Which he's really holding himself back
from, exactly.
How he talks now.
I've been well trained.
Yeah.
Althea has the shock collar. And I've been...
keeping him on good behavior. We have Bridget on the line. Hi, Bridget. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Tell us about, well, whichever one of these questions you would like to answer.
What speaks to you?
Well, I just wanted to let you know that I am helping to grow the 82nd Avenue of Roses parade this year. It's the 20th year.
Whoa. Well, tell us about that. What goes into that?
Oh, it's the most amazing parade in Portland. We close 82nd Avenue. And we parade right down the middle of it.
Whoa.
And we show off the community around East Portland.
When is it?
It is April 25th. It's been put on originally by the Business Association on 82nd Avenue. And then somewhere along the line, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, a group of local neighborhood community do-gooders took it on and have been organizing it ever since. I've been helping with volunteers for about 5 years and I'm coordinating this year. So I'm very involved and we're growing it to a full-blown weekend of fun around the last weekend of April.
Whoa.
All right.
We're bringing back the carnival. Originally, it was in Eastport Plaza. It starts at Holgate and goes to Division on 82nd Avenue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Eastport Plaza was the first big sponsor, supporter, and there was a carnival. So we're bringing back the Funtastic Carnival. We'll be there all weekend, and there's a whole weekend of fun, of activities and stuff going on.
Cool.
Now, are there any floats planned?
There are floats, and I'm so glad you asked that. One of the big growth ideas this year was to engage the local high schools in design, art design, or actual float design to add more floats to this parade. There's always only a handful of floats. Usually the Rose Festival comes, the Rosarian float comes, the Angel, our clown prince, Angel Ocasio comes with the Rose Festival float, so we are one of the first parades for the Rose Festival season. So this year, we're going to grow with our own float for East Portland. The theme of the parade is the history of East Portland.
Cool.
So our float's going to center around that, and we're having student input. It's a lot about art and design, more about and less about actually building a float this year, but it's going to have some really cool elements brought in by the students of East Portland. It's going to be great.
That's awesome. Happy spring to you, Bridget, and thank you for calling.
Happy spring to the Avenue of Roses, 82nd Avenue of Roses Parade.
I've always wanted to build a float, can I say? I know Bridget said that's not what it's about.
Yeah,
it's not what it's about this year.
I'm taking the wrong.
That's not what we're doing. Wrong takeaway. That. No, that's that. It sounds like you know,
shutting down the whole street.
Hammering
that's a
it
big
out.
Deal.
That is a big deal for 82nd. That is a big street. Big street. Lots of room for a parade.
Okay, what kind of float would you build?
I don't know. I love crepe paper. I love. Yeah. Well, I make a lot of miniatures. Sculptural.
Yes, it's kind of the opposite of a miniature.
Yeah,
anyways.
It's sort of a. Largature.
Largature.
That's what they call it. No, I get into some paper mache. I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
Guys, if you need help building a float, give me a call. Not on air, but or on air, I guess.
Yeah, call me right now.
Yeah, call right now. We'll do some paper mache. We'll build something.
I'd love to build
wacky.
A giant float on my car and just have it on the car forever.
Yeah,
and
we could do that.
Eventually, as it rains, it just starts to just turn into like kind of a deforms and deflates
around
the car.
And then it just sort of like drips into your vision. That sounds rad. Should we build a genius box float?
And then I'm just swerving around on the road with my like muddled mass of float. Mm-hmm.
No, that rules. I think we should make
from
one
float
for Genius
to flood.
Box. From float to flood. Whoa, is that something? I don't know. Maybe something of a biblical parade. Yeah. I can't quite tell.
Yeah. You'd think that I would do the ark, but instead I've done the flood.
Yes, exactly. who'd you come dressed as this year? I came dressed as the flood. If we do have some time left, if you want to call 503-231-8187. What is something in your life that you are growing or something you've successfully grown? Or what is your all-time spring break destination, which somebody I'm sure will totally answer, Reed?
Yeah, interesting. Everyone's answering Althea's question. No one's answering my question.
Yeah,
so.
Guilt them into this.
Nice to see where your loyalties lie. Okay. I guess I can never trust the audience again. I guess I'll never pose a question again.
No, come on. I'll answer your question.
I will never pose another question again.
No. Now I'm in the bargaining phase. not to rub it perfect, in, but what is something plan. In your life that you are growing?
Impatient.
Okay.
With people's unwillingness to.
No.
Is it? I've kind of successfully co-opted your question.
He's made it reflexive. He's made it. And God forbid you learn anything about the type of question that you've asked.
Not answering my own question.
Well, answer your own question then. What's your all-time spring break destination?
Well, it's got to be someplace in Florida.
Oh.
That's where everyone goes, isn't it?
Not that you can go anywhere right now. I think they're shutting down the Tampa airport or something like that.
Really?
Well, I don't know that that's fully true, but there's been major delays because of the DHS funding blockage.
Yeah.
And TSA agents and stuff. So, you know, maybe it's a close
road trip.
Staycation.
Yeah.
Kind of a staycation
situation. No, of course. Yeah. I'd stay at home, invite 400 college students from the rowdiest Greek organizations.
Sure, yeah, you have to. If you're gonna do spring break, I guess, at your own house.
You gotta do it right.
I guess. We have Francis on the line. Hi, Francis.
Hi, Francis.
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Today, many years ago, my eldest and only daughter, my oldest child, was born. And I'm thinking she's pretty successful. I think that she grew up with me during the anti-war movement, and today she's probably my best friend. And I just spoke with her this morning. I think the thing that bothers her and I the most is the genocide that's going on right now over in the Middle East, and that isn't even talked about. It's really kind of disheartening how this is kind of put in the terms of a war game, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And there's innocent human beings caught up in all this, and no one seems to be that concerned about it. It's very political and very military industrial complex, and $200 billion worth of it. It's really disgusting, actually. But anyway, the bright spot is that child who was born in 1969 is as woke as she wants to be, and as woke as anybody could be and wants to be and should be. And proud of that.
Yeah.
In addition to being a beautiful person.
Well, happy birthday to your daughter.
Yes,
and congratulations to you on raising somebody wonderful with a springtime birthday.
What a perfect time for a birthday too.
Yeah, truly. Well, thank you, Francis.
Yeah, thank you, Francis.
Appreciate you sharing with us for sure. We are going to try to get through a couple more callers. We got Barth on the line. Hi, Barth. Good morning.
Good morning. Good questions for today. I was going to say my waistline is something I'm growing from this long winter, it seems like, but I think I would go with resistance. I'm growing resistant to the dictates of the upper class here as best I'm able. And in terms of spring break question, I never went to college. My sum total of my college education is one term of folk dance with a very cute girl, but that was a long time ago. I'd say spring break for a lot of people is just getting away from wherever your head is at. So I'm going to say the woods or the beach.
Mm-hmm. A beautiful answer.
Thank you, Barth.
Thank you for answering both of our questions.
Wow. Thank you, Barth. You have a good rest of your day. Love that. We're going to try to get through a couple more. Art is on the line. Hi, Art.
Hi, Art.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Okay. I wanted to discuss the Rose Quarter, the Motor Center investment.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Now there's a handout of an artist rendering like an aerial view of what the future and development of it will look like, and it's you know, computer assisted, so it's a realistic drawing, but it's not a realistic proposal at all, really, and it has flaws in its transportation element.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to manage traffic, and already a lot of the land is devoted to parking for rigs, you know, freight trucks that are bringing in materials for a presentation or a show.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's parking garages for people who are going to attend. There has to be that parking garages there. There's three main ones, and they're gone in this rendering. So that's hundreds of millions of dollars to demolish existing parking and probably relocate it underground.
Mm-hmm.
And above ground were these apartments and condominiums, more than apartments. These aren't going to be affordable apartments, but parking for those as well. So you're going to need some underground for the stadium, for the arena, and above ground for the residents who live in this residential development proposal that's not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hundreds of millions, there's where your money is going to, I say. It's in the proposed development that... The architect is a Hanbury Eddy architects, and they were, you know, hired to put a vision of what they think the future of the district could be, and it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Well,
thank you, Art. We appreciate you highlighting that issue. We'll have to go take a look at that. We're going to try to get to Doug. Doug, you're on with us. We're going to go quick.
Real quick, I'm just talking about what I'm growing. I've got a couple of things growing that most people don't grow. Aloe vera. I've got flowering or aloe vera. And I also have an indoor avocado plant.
Oh.
And I think they're kind of interesting. I grew one for 7 years, and I tried it, you know, I left it outside a little bit too long and lost it. But I've got another one now. It's indoors, and it's been about 3 years, almost four now. And I'm hoping to eventually get an avocado off one of these trees.
That'd be fantastic.
I love it. That's a great call.
Well, thank you, Doug. Appreciate the call. We are coming up to the end of our time here on Genius Box.
We'll meet again. Don't know when. I know where and when, actually.
Probably here on Fridays at 8 a.m. Want to mention, stick around. Coming up next, it's Veterans Voice. Also, later today and into tomorrow, we got the Metal Marathon and...
Rock on!
Thank you. And the Bluegrass Marathon tomorrow morning. So
Bluegrass on!
Bluegrass on! That's what they say. We got live bands. We got live sets. You are not going to want to miss it. So keep it locked to KBOO Community Radio.
Break off the dial here. heal your hand.
Exactly. That's what we're asking of people this March. Thank you, Reed.
Oh, thanks, Althea.
Thank you to Nate, in the box there, in the on the ones and twos. Thank you to you for listening, and I think we will leave it there.
Leave it as is.
See you next time.
start the show.
KBOO.FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1930.